Margaret Sullivan, James Stewart, Frank Morgan.
The Gulf Screen Guild Theater. Your host and director of the Star's Own Theater, Roger Pryor.
Good evening, everyone. On behalf of your neighborhood Good Gulf dealer and the Gulf Oil Companies, welcome back to the Gulf Screen Guild Theater. Right now, the Gulf Theater is the most exciting place this Hollywood of ours has seen in months. Out front in the audience are many of the greatest names in motion pictures and radio. Right beside me here on the stage are Margaret Sullivan, James Stewart, and Frank Morgan, whom you'll hear later in tonight's play, The Shop Around the Corner. Behind me, of course, is Oscar Bradley's Gulf Orchestra, with Frank Tours conducting. And facing me across the microphone is one of the grandest fellows in Hollywood or any place else, a great actor and the president of the Motion Picture Relief Fund, Gene Herschel. Gene has something to say to you.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Gulf Screen Guild Theater means more to us here in Hollywood than you probably realize. Soon, just outside of Hollywood, a community complete in itself will be built. A community that will provide a home for the less fortunate men and women of the motion picture industry who, because of some quirk of fate, can no longer provide for themselves. And we owe all this to the Gulf Theater. For the money that would ordinarily go to the stars who appear here, Gulf gives instead to the Motion Picture Relief Fund. So as we start our third season, I want to thank the Gulf people and all the stars who have helped make the Gulf Theater our theater. I'm proud to be associated with them. Thank you.
Thank you, Gene Herschel. And now, ladies and gentlemen, for our first production of the season, we bring you Margaret Sullivan, James Stewart, and Frank Morgan in The Shop Around the Corner.
Shop Around the Corner, they call this story. And do you know whose shop? Matuszek and Company, novelties and leatherware. Best of its kind in Budapest.
It really is.
Wonderful values at all times. In fact, I don't know how Matuszek and Company does it.
Just a moment, please. Who are you?
Me? What? I'm Matuszek.
Oh.
Yes, well, anyhow, it all happened in my store. Practically all. That's why I'm telling it. Well, this is the story of two young people of whom I'm very fond, Clara and Martin. Clara is very attractive, yes. She's most attractive. And an excellent sales girl. But Martin and Clara haven't gotten on at all from the very first day she came to work for me. Professional jealousy on Martin's part, because no head clerk likes to have an assistant, especially such a pretty assistant, outsell him.
Oh, Miss Novak, whatever became of those musical cigarette boxes that nobody ever buys?
I just sold the last one, Mr. Martin.
Oh. Can I show you something, madam?
No, thank you. I prefer to have the young lady wait on me.
Oh. Well, I've had a pretty good day. My sales come to exactly 176 kronen.
My sales come to 250 kronen.
Oh.
Yes. You can easily see how these little occurrences would hardly make for a beautiful friendship. But all this didn't seem very important to Martin these days. He had something else on his mind. Martin was living in a romantic plane, far above the everyday routine of Matuszek and Company. I found that out one day when I chanced to overhear him talking with a fellow clerk named Pirovich.
Nice, Pirovich.
Yes. What is it?
It's a letter from a girl. Now, listen. My heart was trembling as I walked into the post office, and there you were, lying in box 237, and I took you out of your envelope and read you. I read you right there. Oh, dear friend, what is all this?
Well, you see, I was looking through the ads in the Sunday paper, and I got on the wrong page, and I ran across this ad. Here, let me show it to you, see?
Modern girl wishes to correspond on cultural subjects anonymously with intelligent, sympathetic young man. Address, dear friend, post office 15, box 237.
Now, we've exchanged four letters, and Perovich, she's no ordinary girl. Now, listen to this. Are you tall or short? Are your eyes brown? Are they blue? Now, don't tell me. What does it matter so long as our minds meet?
You're right. And it is beautiful.
Yes, now listen. What are men and women for but to rise above the stupid necessities of the eight-hour day?
That sounds very nice, Martin, but you really should...
Oh, excuse me, Perovich. Miss Novak, where do you think you're going?
I'm going home, Mr. Martin. It's 6 o'clock.
It's 5 minutes of six. This store does not close for another 5 minutes. I'm afraid, Miss Novak, that you don't take your work very seriously.
Oh, don't I?
No, and I don't like your attitude.
Listen, let me tell you something.
Yes, and while I think of it, I don't like the clothes you've been wearing in the store. For instance, that yellow blouse with the light green dots you had
that
on
was
yesterday.
A green blouse with light yellow dots. Everybody else thought it was very becoming.
Yes.
And well, I don't remember that I ever remarked about your neckties. And believe me, Mr. Martin, if you think I couldn't say anything about your necktie, so I'll thank you to leave my blouse alone. It's none of your business.
Well, I'm very sorry, but Mr. Matuszek seems to think it is my business.
Oh, yes, that's right. I'm working under you. Well, from now on, I'll telephone you every morning, describe just exactly what I'm going to wear. And before I select my next season's wardrobe, my dressmaker will submit samples for you. Imagine you dictating what I should
well,
wear.
Well, for heaven's sake, I don't care what you wear. If you want to look like a pony in the circus, all right.
Listen, I sold as much goods yesterday as anybody else in the place. 197 kronen isn't bad for a rainy Friday 3 weeks before Christmas. Did you tell that to Mr. Matuszek?
I did.
What did he say?
He said, tell her not to come in that blouse anymore.
Tell him I won't.
I will.
Now, come. Always fighting you two. Why don't you try to get along better?
I'd like to know who could get along with a man like him. Oh, it is now exactly 6 o'clock, Mr. Martin. May I go?
Yes, Miss Novak.
Oh, thank you very much.
Stubborn little female. I don't know why we ever hired that girl.
Now, don't get yourself all worked up. Calm down.
Sure. What do I care about a girl like that? I don't know.
Forget her. Tell me more about that girl you've been writing to, you know, dear friend.
Hmm? What?
Oh, yeah. Oh, Perovich, she's wonderful. She's...
Well, you know, after a while, in our letters, we came to the subject of love. Well, naturally, on a very cultural level.
What else can you do in a letter?
No. But Perovich, she's the most marvelous girl in the world. She has such ideals, such a point of view on things. Why, she's so far above the girls you meet today, there's simply no comparison.
You really like her, don't you?
Well, I hope I will.
What do you mean? You love a girl and you don't know if you like her?
That's right, Perovich. That's just the question. You see, I haven't met her yet.
You haven't what? After all this time.
I postponed it again and again. I'm scared, Perovich. You see, this girl thinks I'm the most wonderful person in the world, and after all, there's a chance she might be disappointed.
I see.
But tonight, I'm taking the risk. I'm meeting her tonight at 8 o'clock in a cafe. She's going to have a copy of Tolstoy's Anna Karenina and a red carnation for a bookmark. Oh, I haven't slept for days.
I'm sure she'll be beautiful.
Well, not too beautiful. What chance would there be for a fellow like me?
What do you want? A homely girl?
No. Just a lovely average girl, that's all.
That's the clock in the back of my shop striking 8 p.m. And that's exactly the hour Martin was to meet dear friend for the first time at the cafe. Well, when the time came, Martin didn't feel quite so brave, so he asked Perovich to come along to give him moral support. And even after he got there, he was afraid to go in. He stood with Perovich in a shadow outside the front window and peered in. He wanted Perovich to see if he could spot a girl with a red carnation for a bookmark.
Not yet. There's a beautiful girl.
Really?
Very beautiful. But no book.
Oh, too bad.
Wait a minute. I think I see it. Right here under the window. Yeah. Anna Karenina by Tolstoy. The carnation.
Yes. Well, what does she look like?
Well, I can't see her face. She's sitting behind the clothes rack. There's a cup of coffee on the table. She's taking a piece of cake. Martin, she's dunking.
Well, why shouldn't she?
Oh, all right.
What else, Perovich? How does she look?
Well, I can't see her face yet.
Don't shove me, Martin.
She's leaning forward now. Well, can you see her?
Yes.
Is she pretty?
Very pretty.
She is, huh?
I would say she looks... She has a little of the coloring of Clara.
Clara? Well, you mean Miss Novak of the shop?
Oh, Martin, you must admit that Clara is a good-looking girl, and personally, I've always found her a very likable girl.
Well, this is a fine time to be talking about Miss Novak.
Well, if you don't like Miss Novak, I can tell you right now you won't like this girl.
Why?
Because it is Miss Novak.
Well, Martin was all for turning on his heel and starting home, but his friend Pirovich pointed out that Miss Novak had written those letters, and it really wasn't fair to the girl to leave her waiting there. Much against his will, Martin finally agreed to go inside the cafe and talk to Miss Novak.
Well, hello, Miss Novak.
Oh, good evening, Mr. Martin.
Well, that's what a coincidence. You know, I had an appointment. You haven't seen Mr. Pirovich by any chance, have you?
No, I haven't.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess I'll wait. Mind if I sit down?
Yes, I do, please. Oh, Mr. Martin, I have an appointment, too.
Oh, well, there's no harm just sitting here, is there? Oh, I see you're reading Tolstoy's Anna Karenina.
Yes, anything against it?
Oh, no. I never expected to meet you in a cafe with Tolstoy. It's quite a surprise. I didn't know you went in for the higher literature. Right?
Yes. Well, there's so many things you don't know about me, Mr. Martin.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever read Crime and Punishment by Dostoevsky?
No, I haven't.
I have. A lot of things you don't know about me, too, Miss Novak. You know, people seldom go to the trouble of scratching the surface of things to find the inward truth.
Really, Mr. Martin, I wouldn't care at all to scratch your surface. Probably because I know exactly what I'd find. A handbag instead of a heart, a suitcase instead of a soul, instead of an intellect, a cigarette lighter that doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very well put. I think comparing my intellect with a cigarette lighter that doesn't work, that's a very interesting mixture of poetry and meanness.
Meanness?
Oh, don't understand me, Miss Novak.
I thought I told you I was expecting somebody.
Listen, if your party doesn't show up, would I...
Don't worry about that, Mr. Martin. This party will show up. It's really not necessary for you to entertain me.
Well, let me tell you something, Miss Novak. You may have beautiful thoughts, but you certainly hide them. And as far as your actions are concerned, you're cold and snippy like an old maid, and you're going to have a terrible time finding a man to fall in love with you.
I? An old maid? So, no man will fall in love with me. Really, Mr. Martin, you're getting funnier every minute. Why, I could show you letters that would open your eyes. No, maybe not. You probably wouldn't understand what's in them. They're written by a type of man so far above you that it's ridiculous. Ha! Huh. I have to laugh when I think of you calling me an old maid. You little insignificant clerk.
So ends Act One of our first Gulf production of the season. During the brief moment before the curtain rises on Act Two, I'd like to tell you some of the many things in store for you here in the Gulf Theater. Next week, for instance, you'll meet Clark Gable, Ann Southern, and Jeffrey Lynn in the great motion picture success, Red Dust. The following week, the pair you've all been waiting for, Vivian Lee and Laurence Olivier in Private Lives. In future weeks, among others, you'll hear from Jack Benny, Claudette Colbert, Ernst Lubitsch, Basil Rathbone, James Cagney, Mickey Rooney, and Judy Garland. And now, I know you'd like to hear a word about the man who's really behind the Gulf Theater, your neighborhood good Gulf dealer. He hopes you'll be listening in every week. And he hopes, too, that you'll take advantage of all he can do to give you more miles of motoring satisfaction. He's ready with that helpful Gulf service and with those splendid Gulf products, Gulf gasolines, and Gulf motor oils. Next time you're out driving, stop in at the sign of the Gulf Orange Disc and meet your neighborhood good Gulf dealer.